Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey, welcome back to the Podcrashed. This week, we're telling the story of British Airways Flight 762. Thanks for listening.
We're back.
We're back, baby.
Baby. Oh, my goodness. Hello, friends. Hello, Mariah.
Hi, Casey. My computer was so dead that that's what was taking so long is it took forever to boot up. And then I had to restart it.
Oh.
Poor little baby computer.
I know. It's like you neglected me. But, you know, it's terrible when things are like so dead that they're just like, please, just give me a little time.
I just need five minutes to myself.
Yeah, just please. But everything is going now. Yeah. So
tip top shape.
Today we are doing a British Airways flight.
Stop. Okay. It is so I cannot explain to you what just happened in my brain.
Please.
At work, we do this thing called Word of the Week. And during our staff meetings at the end, where we have a different staff member share like either a word or a phrase or like something like culturally relevant to them so that we kind of like keep that spirit alive in the office. Like people feel safe. They can share, you know, because we like a lot of our employees are like new immigrants. So try to just like, you know, keep that alive in them and give them a space to feel safe. Anyways, we have two British people in our office and one speaks like with a Cockney accent and is like from wherever the fuck that is. I'm so sorry. I have no idea anything about British accents.
But literally a Cockney accent, like that's
like, yeah, like that's where he's from. And like there's like Cockney slang and like rhyming, like Cockney rhyming words, right? So he did this and when I said tip top shape, I don't know why that's immediately what I thought of was that presentation. I don't think that's like a Cockney phrase, but it made me think of that. And then you were like, and then you said British fucking Airways. It was too much for my brain to handle. I'm sorry.
Just like, wait.
I had to stop and walk everybody through it. Because it was
It's like if you pull too many files at once, you're just like, oh boy, like out of your memory, like filing cabinet.
Right.
Do you remember? Well, here, we'll leave it. We'll come back to it.
I want to hear what his word of the week.
Oh,
I'll have to look some up because they're fun, but
they are a good time. Oh, British people. And their silly accents. Ooh. Right, don't do that.
This is day of chaos. I'm so sorry.
Yes. Pure chaos. No. This is, I'm sorry, friends, but it's a chaos day.
Yeah.
So we're doing specifically British Airways Flight 762 because British Airways is a very old airline, been around for a long time.
Yeah.
Fly all over the world, lots and lots of planes. They're going to come up. We've done other British Airways stories. We'll do more in the future today. British Airways 762. And in the eternal tradition of doing these hideously recent ones, we're doing a flight that took place on May 24th, 2013.
Okay.
2013. Okay. So a glorious year.
Yeah.
We lived together in 2013.
Yeah, we did. Holy shit.
And we all lived together. Ago. Yeah. This was the AmeriCorps year, I think.
Yeah, it was.
Beautiful.
Fucking 18 people living in a small apartment. Yeah.
But rent was like
75 cents, baby. Like, let's go.
So we're going 2013. Casey and Mariah are living it up in Buffalo. But this plane is
careers,
going from
figuring life out.
Oh, we should talk about that more. Yeah. But how it was like truly the start of your career, like literally.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
We're going from Heathrow to Oslo, Norway. Okay. So London Heathrow to Oslo. It's a 2-hour flight. Little bing bang. We're going. It's early morning. It's like 6:30 in the morning. We're trying to take off. You know, push back by like 7. Just a crisp spring morning, and it's a clear day, beautiful, no complaints. We're flying an A319, so an Airbus 319. These are like, again, super common, like 3 and 3, like they fit in the range, the British Airways configuration, they fit like 125 people ish, and we've got 80 people on board, so pretty comfortable. You know, 75 passengers, 3 flight attendants, 2 pilots. What are the pilots' names? Who knows? So the captain is 50. He joined British Airways. I think this is so cool. He joined British Airways as an engineering apprentice, became a flight engineer on the L-1011, the TriStar, one of the best planes ever.
Yeah.
Was a flight engineer on that, and then like became a like regular pilot, and now he's a captain. So like,
wow.
What a dude.
Really worked his way up. Yeah.
He really did. He really did. Career man. Yeah. And the first officer, he's good. He's great. Yeah. We like him. He is 33, which is a great age. And, you know, he's a pilot for British Airways. Like, what more could you want? He's doing great. Yeah, we love him. This is a little 2-hour jaunt. Nothing to worry about. 50 empty seats on a 3-3, like, you know, 3-3 configuration, like. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So there's 6 seats across with the aisle down the middle. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's a Friday morning. Nobody has to sit in the middle seat. Like, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
The plane has just had a little maintenance checkup. Good to go. Healthy, happy little plane. The first officer is going to be flying the plane. They're checking the logbook because it just got the maintenance. First officer does his walk around, and then, you know, just everything looks good. The British Airways is actually like making a new training video for their like ground stick crew, like the staff who like loads bags, the tug, all of that. So they're actually filming all of this happening right now. Like a British Airways, somebody is from British Airways or some freelance or whatever is like out there with a camera on the tarmac, like making a video. Like, that's fun. So everybody's like doing their thing. All good. Line up. Get out to the runway. Clear for takeoff. All good. So vrooming down the runway to take off. Pat, from the pilot's perspective, everything is good. From the passenger's perspective, so some of the passengers are obviously seated like over the wing or like right behind the wing and therefore behind the engines. A 319 has one engine on each wing. And so the passengers who can see the engines can see that there's something like flapping on the wings. So flapping and wings makes it sound like a bird. I don't mean like that. Like metal on the metal wings, metal on the engines is like flapping, like it's loose. Something is weird. And the passengers are like, oh no, hey, ah, or whatever, like just like whatever you would do in that situation, just like, hey, ah, like hitting their call button and just like yelling. And the flight attendants have to be buckled. It's takeoff. Like, what are you talking about? So they lift off, and as they're like pulling away from the ground, the the cowling on engine one, the left side, just fucks off, just bleh, phoom, like gone, just drops down back onto the tarmac, actually back right onto the runway they just came off, just leaves it there. Everybody on the right side of the plane can see their engine flappy, 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 flappy. Well, bam, the cowling rips off that one, hits the plane, hits the wing, then hits the right where the emergency exit door is over the wing on the right side, and like dents it, just like bam. Oh. And then it fucks off down to the earth and also litters crap all over the runway. Okay, so the passengers now are even more like, hey, 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 like ding, 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 hitting the call button. Yeah. And the flight attendants are just like, you don't like this either, but I can't get up because if something is really wrong, then I am going to be more likely to die. Like, exactly. I got to stay buckled. In the cockpit, nothing. There's just nothing wrong.
Oh, my God.
For this moment, they're not getting no dings, no bells, no whistles, no lights, no nothing. So passengers are freaking out, but everything seems good in the cockpit. So the flight attendant, the lead flight attendant all the way at the front of the plane, can't see anything from her vantage point, but she can see the passengers freaking out, right? Yeah. And one of the passengers on the right side starts to see smoke coming out of the right engine, and she starts to scream fire because, right? And again, I cannot imagine how unnerving. Oh my gosh, if you're the passenger and you are like the only one who is seeing the problem, okay? So she's somebody. Right. So she's screaming fire. Everybody's dinging the bell. The flight attendant at the front, who hasn't seen anything and doesn't know what's happening, but knows that something is wrong, picks up the phone to call the pilots and like beeps into them. But again, from the pilot's perspective, they're not getting any warnings on their screens. Nothing. And they're still below 1,000 feet. So they're not supposed to be talking to anybody. They're not supposed to be. They're supposed to be focused on flying the plane, which like, not unreasonable, right? So they just don't answer the call. So from the flight attendant, it's like, oh my gosh. So the other flight attendant who's in the middle of the plane, she can't, from her vantage point, she can't see the engines, but she can see the damage to the emergency exit door that's next to her. She can see the damage, and she picks up the phone and just calls the lead flight attendant at the front of the plane and is just like, something's definitely going on here. Something is, I do not know what it is. Something is wrong. The lead flight attendant agrees that something is wrong. But what is it? So in the cockpit, they get above 1,000 feet. So they're still just ascending up into the sky. They get above 1,000 feet. They want to set the autopilot to climb. And there's a detent is like it's a button, right? So if it's on, then the button stays pushed in. And if it's off, then the button is out, if that makes sense. So it's a regular button, but you can tell if it's on or off by looking at it.
Right.
So there's got to be a better explanation than that, but that's what we're working with.
Yeah.
So they hit the button for the auto throttle, meaning the thing that's going to where the plane will handle the throttling of the engines on its own instead of you having to manually do it. So they push in the button for the auto throttle and it just immediately pops back out. Just like it says, no, I refuse. I will not auto throttle. And they're like, oh, that's weird. So like give it another like push and it says nope and pops out. Then ding, 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 ding. They get a master caution warning. So they are the last ones on the plane to know that something is wrong. Jeez. And that it should not be that way. This is very weird because all of the things on their dashboard, everything that's telling them, like their control panel, has a lot of sensors and things for the engines. But as far as they can see, engines are fine. No problem with the engines, but they're getting this ding, 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 master caution. The auto throttle won't work. And they are starting to get ECAM messages. So the ECAM is like the computer the computer brain of the plane, and it thankfully doesn't just tell you what the problem is. It will also give you instructions on what you should do. So they're, the first officer is flying. The captain starts to boop, boop through the ECAM. They have an error for engine 2. Nothing for engine 1, which I will remind you all is naked right now. Like, just dropped pieces of itself down onto the earth and has no cowling. So they have like an error for engine 2, like boop, boop through the instructions on like what to do. And they're still ascending. They're going up to 6,000 feet. That was what they were cleared to. Still haven't talked to the flight attendants. Everyone in the cabin is still freaking out. Boop, booping through the thing. And they get, while he's boop, the captain is booping through the ECAM, he gets to an error message saying that the yellow hydraulic line is empty. Now, most of the time we talk about hydraulic problems, the just by nature of like what this show is, it's disastrous. This is thankfully just one of the lines is empty. It's not good, but it's not like we're gonna die, right? Like it's bad, but it's we're okay. It's not what you want, but it's not terrifying in the same way. So they level off at 6,000 feet, still haven't talked to the flight attendants, and they start to like hash this out. So the first officer has like a pretty heavy workload on himself right now. He's flying the plane and he's like controlling the throttles like manually, which is more than he would normally have to do while the captain is going through the ECAM messages, checklists, doing all that stuff, right? So they start to talk and like hash through, okay, like this is the error, this is the thing, this is... So the first officer just like turns around and looks. So if for anyone who doesn't know, the captain is going to be sitting on the left side of the plane. The first officer is sitting on the right side of the plane if you were like looking down on the plane with the nose up and the tail down. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the right engine is behind where the first officer is sitting on the right side, but he can't see just the vantage point. He can't actually see the engine, but he can see the wing, and he just looks out the window and can see that the leading edge, the front of that right wing, is like battered. Like it's just, it's visibly like scuffed and like bludgeoned. And he is like, oh, so we like hit something, right? Like we must have hit something. Something is wrong. Maybe that's what the flight attendants were calling about. Like something is awry. And he can see that it's not good. The captain is British and stoic, I guess, just like, oh, like whoopsie doodles or whatever. You know, and he calls air traffic control with a pan being like one below mayday. So it's still, it's saying like, oh, there's a problem, but you're not actually declaring an emergency, which like I wouldn't blame if you declared an emergency, right? Like it'd be okay. You don't something is awry, but anyway, so he calls the air traffic controller, says pan, we want to come back to Heathrow, and air traffic control is like, so glad you called, you like littered garbage all over the runway. Obviously that's not how they say that, but like there is the parts of your plane that you intended to take with you fell off the plane onto the runway. We don't know what it is yet, but I was thinking I'd probably hear from you. And he says like, oh, so like they still think that they must have hit something. Again, it's not good news, but like the plane is operating pretty normally. They're like handling the situation. They're working together really well. They just keep going through the ECAM, keep flying. They take directions from the air traffic controller so they can like not just loop right around and come back immediately, because they didn't declare mayday. It was pan. So they're going to like go out to like a holding pattern area and then sweep back around. Basically just give themselves some time to like figure out what's going on. the captain, boop, boop, booping. The first officer is like flying the plane, doing the throttles, like he's doing all of that. They have leveled off. The flight attendant can just feel that they have leveled off, right? She like is an expert in her field, and she can tell that they're stopped at 6,000 feet, and so she physically like unbuckles and gets up to start to like inspect the damage, which I think very brave, right? Like, yeah. She gets up and she goes to where the passenger, the lady who had been screaming fire, not incorrectly, she sees smoke and fire on the engine that is outside of her window. So the flight attendant looks and sees this. She can see smoke coming out of it and see like little tongues of flames coming around. So the flight attendant goes back to her seat, calls the cockpit again. Captain picks up this time, and she says that like the right engine has blown open. And I don't know how chaotic. I mean, I think it's got to be really chaotic in the cabin, realistically. Maybe not, because maybe depending on who's on board, it's like the 6:30 flight from London to Oslo. Maybe they're more stoic, but I think that everybody, I don't know.
Right.
She has not mentioned anything about the left engine, yeah, which I will remind you also like lost its covering, right? It's cowling. So she calls, she's talking to the captain. She says that the right engine looks like it's blown open. And he says like, yeah, we're going back to Heathrow, like prep the cabin. He doesn't ask for more information, and she doesn't necessarily have more information anyway. So it's a quick exchange where she says, like, I observe this damage on this engine. And he says, yes, we are going back to Heathrow. Okay, fair enough. They are still going through their like ECAM messages, their checklists. They're like starting to like anticipate the landing, talking to air traffic control. The flight attendant calls back and says the cowling on engine one is missing too. So a passenger has made her aware, yeah, that there's a problem with the other engine as well. And she figured out, like, okay, so when the cowling's detached from both of these engines and caused the damage to the door. So she explains that. So cowling is missing from both. The cowling ripped off the right engine and smacked into the door, the emergency exit door on that side. So she's like just doing the, you know, NTSB's work for them, just getting ahead of the game, saying what's happening. And they're like, the pilots are like, so both, okay, both. They don't have any warnings for engine one on the left side, but that it's not good, yeah, but it seems, again, we're like, we're gonna be on the ground soon. We're okay. They gotta, you know, stay focused, get on the ground, it's all good. No one has realized, no one has observed in any way that they have, you know, damage to the door. Both of the engines are naked. The leading edge of the right wing is damaged. Smoke and little flames coming out of the right engine. The hydraulic lines, obviously, the yellow hydraulic line got cut and they don't have yellow hydraulic lines. They're also leaking fuel on the right side. Jeez. They're leaking fuel. Fuel is just streaming out, and it's daytime, and the fuel is, it's just, it's hard to see it, right? Just plain and simple. And so they're trying to get closer to LHR, and they get a ding, like a warning for the fuel imbalance. So the right side of the plane, that right wing that's full of fuel, is not so full of fuel anymore because it's just fallen out, right? Yeah. The first officer knows what it is immediately. The first officer says, we got to be leaking fuel because that has to be what's causing the fuel imbalance. So we must be leaking fuel out of the right side. So they don't open the little like gate, the little dam that you can open up so that the fuel will balance out. They right. obviously keep that shut. It's only 2 hours to Oslo. They didn't actually have like that much fuel to start with.
Yeah.
Even though they're still super close to the airport, they didn't start out with a massive amount of fuel. So they're like, but again, the captain is just, you know, staying on top of it. He's like, you know, no matter what, the answer is the same. We're going back to London. We're on our way. We're trying to get back to the airport. We were just there. The answer isn't going to change, right? That's what we got to do no matter what. But it does change how the plane flies, right? Because it's they don't have the auto throttle that they're used to. So they're manually controlling the, like, how much power the engines are putting out. And they're also, like, the first officer is also flying the plane, and it changes like how the plane flies because it's out of balance. But no matter what, we just got to get back to the airport. The captain makes an announcement to the passengers where the captain in his announcement says one of the engine cowlings like came off and struck the door. We're heading back to Heathrow, which I gotta say, the passengers hearing that, I God bless every single person on that plane and the flight attendants, but the passengers have just been screaming this whole time that it's both engines. It's not one.
No.
And I would be so freaked out to hear that, right? If you're saying one of the engines and it's like, no, not one, not one, both. Yeah. Both. And
a lot of issues back here. A lot.
Right.
It is stacking, right. my dude. It is stacking.
Yeah. It is stacking up and don't, oh no. Like, so the first officer, right, he's flying, doing the auto throttles, making up for the imbalance. And he's also doing math. I love this first officer. He's doing math in his head, right? And he's measuring in his head, like, how fast the fuel is draining out. Mm-hmm. And he says, like, by my math, I think we've lost like 100 kilos in the last 2.5 minutes. And they like slow down and start to, again, they're working together the whole time. They slow down and like do the math like together, like more carefully. And they realize that they've lost 100 kilos of fuel in the last minute. Ooh. So they're actually losing fuel fairly fast, right? The right wing engine at some point is going to be starved of fuel and go out. And the first officer is like, I think, like, let's just shut down engine one. Let's just shut it down, or engine two, rather, on the right side. Let's just shut down engine two. Just, it's going to get starved of fuel anyway. Let's just turn it off. Let's just turn it off. We don't have to worry about it anymore, right? Let's just turn it off. And the captain is firm and says, like, no, we're not going to turn it off, because what if we have to go around? Like, we don't really, it's still going. As long as it's still going, let's keep it going, right? Let's not turn it off prophylactically or whatever. And so they're so close to the airport. They can see the airport. They're looking at it. They are they actually connect to the ILS, the instrument landing system. It's right there. It's right there. It's a clear, beautiful day. Weather's good. Let's just keep both of our engines. Talk to air traffic control. Air traffic control has like the whole rescue crew ready to go, like the whole thing, the fire trucks, everything. And he tells them that like our intent is to land on this landing, but it's possible that we'll have to go around, right? It's just the plane isn't flying normally, right? It's something wrong with it, right?
Yeah.
So they're cleared to land. Fire alarm goes off. The fire alarm for engine two on the right side starts to blare. And the captain, like, bam, hits the first of two fire extinguisher, like, things that they can use to, like, try to douse whatever fire there is in there. I don't know why the fire alarm took so long to go off. Maybe because the cowling is missing. I don't know.
Yeah.
So he boops it off. He activates the fire extinguisher and it just keeps going, just the fire alarm blaring at them. And he turns the engine off. They shut down engine two and the fire alarm just keeps going. And so he presses the button and has the other fire extinguisher like release on engine two and doesn't stop the fire. The passengers can see that right engine burning, and the like bare left engine, and just, but they can see that they're closer to the ground. They can see that, like, they can, if they've been on this flight before, they kind of know where they are. Like, the flight attendant is, all the flight attendants are going through the, like, emergency landing procedures, reminding everybody to, like, stay in your fucking seat. Do not, like, jump up. Like, wait for the captain to say evacuate. Leave your stuff. Yeah. Leave your stuff. Do not be reaching up to the overhead bins. Absolutely, like, not. Just... So, and the autopilot clicks off. So now there's no autopilot, no auto throttle. The first officer's got a really heavy workload right now. The captain is calling out their speeds, and he's calling out their like altitude. He's trying to feed that information to the first officer. And then the captain calls the air traffic controller and says, like, oh, we got fire alarm, like, upgrading this to Mayday. They're already on the ILS, like, they're right there, but just keeping the information flowing. They can see it. The captain says, like, to the first officer, we need to land on this landing. Like, now we have one engine. We've got a fire. Like, no going around. We have to land on this landing. Yeah. And then he takes over the throttles. So the captain is doing the throttles. And then the captain's kind of like, wait a second. And just, like, takes over flying the plane, which I kind of feel like the first officer might have appreciated. So yeah. I don't know. Maybe it feels weird to, like, I don't know. So the captain takes over the controls, and the first officer takes over the throttles, and the first officer starts calling out information so the captain can just keep his eyes on the road. They touch down. As soon as they touch down, bam, tires explode. Oh. The spoilers can't deploy because the hydraulic line is empty that controls them, but they don't have any reverse thrust, obviously, on the right side because it's off and on fire, but they slam on the brakes and they start to slow down and they slow down and they slow down. And the captain, as they're like about to stop, the captain has the presence of mind to turn the plane just a little bit, just slide the plane over to the right so that engine two on the right side is downwind from the cabin.
Oh my God.
Which is extremely just incredible. So they've come to a stop. The wind is blowing that smoke away from the cabin, and the captain calls the fire chief. All the crews are like rushing toward the plane, and just takes the fire chief's advice. Like, says, like, do you think that we should stay put? Like, you can see the flames right now and I can't. Do you think we should stay put and let you, like, start to put it out, or do you think we should evacuate? And the fire chief says, like, just evacuate out the left side, turn off that engine and just go out that way. And so they that's exactly what they do. They turn off the engines, they announce an evacuation, they pop open the slides on the left side only while the fire crews are starting to, like, put out the fire on that right engine. Everybody just slides on the slides. One guy takes his roller bag and gets up to the door, supposed to slide down, drops his roller bag over the side, and then slides down. But besides that, everybody lived.
That would be my father.
Everyone's okay. Oh, my dad. Did you say my dad?
My dad.
Wait, what did you say?
But maybe your dad too.
All of our dads.
Both of our dads together.
Oh,
handing pops. Each other their bags as everyone's evacuating.
Yes. I got some important stuff in there. Yeah.
Oh,
but everybody
Everyone
lived.
Survived, you said?
Everyone lived. There weren't even any injuries. The thing with the guy dropping his bag, they actually cited that as, like, this really could have caused injury because there's people down there. My brother, right. Like, but no injuries. He just dropped it.
It's a pretty high drop.
Yes, sir. Control yourself. Where was that bag? Did you get it from the overhead compartment? Did you block?
It's on film, right? So, yeah.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah. In 2013, yeah. They even the fire chief, the fire crews probably had.
Yeah.
They were filming that day, but they were filming over by the gate. But
Right. Yeah.
But the fire crews probably have like body cams. I know they do. It's not uncommon for them to have body cams. Yeah. So, okay. So everybody lived.
Thank God.
Thank God.
Oh my God. That would have been so, that must have been such a scary flight.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, no.
For everyone.
Just
for
like
everyone.
The lack of control that you have. You see something happening like from the first instance. It's like, that is not supposed to do that. That was not supposed to fuck off into nowhere. We need that on the plane. Get like, and no one doing anything. Oh my God.
That's what it would feel like, right? Yeah. Like, that's the thing that it's so, there's like the opposite of this where sometimes the like pilots know that something is seriously wrong and the passengers don't know anything, right? But this is like the opposite of that where the pilots are less aware until that, like, it had to be so scary though when you're looking, looking at the like the runway, you can see it right in front of you, you're trying to land and you get that fire alarm. Like, that just has to be so scary because you just don't know how much time you're gonna have.
Yeah, no. And like the first thought I'm sure that pops in your mind is like, I'm about to slam into the ground and explode. Like, shit.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. But that the passengers, I don't blame the captain at all. I, to be clear, both of these pilots, amazing work. Thank you. Like, you literally,
you
did it. You did it. Yes. You saved everyone's lives. Everyone is safe because of you. I swear, when he made that announcement that one of the engines, the cowling came off one of them, I do not know this, but I think that would have been like the moment of like the most extreme, no!
Panic, right?
Yes! Yes.
Because
it would just be...
it's not only like you're not getting the right information, it's like, are you fucking dumb? Like, that's how it must feel. You know what I mean? Like,
it must feel like,
yeah, like I can
so scary.
All of these problems happening from my vantage point. This whole section of people can see what's happening.
Imagine being like a passenger in like first class, like sucks to suck because you can't see what's happening. Yep. And all you can see is like the flight attendant's face in front of you or whatever. Right. Like you can't see if you're all the way in the back, like where you can't see. That would be even worse because you're hearing people. I mean, if you're in a place where you can't see and you hear someone yell fire, that's horrible.
Oh,
if you're
God, no.
the person yelling fire, that's horrible. Like. So what happened, guys? Why did the cowling come off of both of these planes or both of these engines? Like, why did that happen? So there was maintenance last night. So
God damn it.
British Airways, I know. British Airways, prepare to get a little mad at British Airways, by the way. So British Airways, this is a good thing they do. All the planes get a little checkup once a week at the gate. So not in the aircraft hangar, but once a week at the gate, the maintenance crews will give it a once over, right? That's nice. So this aircraft, the one that we are flying today, that had all these things happen, they are given the plane. It's parked at the gate overnight. The maintenance people get there, two maintenance guys, and we got to talk about these maintenance guys. Okay. So maintenance guy, again, they don't have names. Do you want to name them? Give them nice British names. They get names.
Frank and Vinny.
Perfect. Frank and Vinny, named for the two very fine cats.
Yeah.
So
screaming outside my door. I don't know if you
hear. Oh yeah. Yeah. I can't hear them, but I can spiritually hear them. Yeah. Okay. So Vinny is 41.
Mm.
He has been with British Airways as a maintenance worker since he was 18 years old. So started at 18, I was 41, it's 23 years.
Wow. Company man.
He's been with the company man.
Yeah.
And he and Frank, 53,
sweet Frank,
worked there for 27 years.
Oh.
Okay. So these are two people who have been very faithful to this company.
Yeah.
Vinny has worked 12 12-hour shifts in the last 14 days.
No.
4-day shifts and 8 night shifts. 144 hours in the last 2 weeks.
No. Vinny, enough.
Frank.
Is this by choice?
I do not think so. I don't know. But that's too much. It's not safe.
Too much.
Frank has worked 10 12-hour shifts in the last 2 weeks. 4-day shifts, 6 night shifts. He's worked 70 hours in the last 7 days.
Oh my God.
And that whole, like, within a 14-day thing, he has worked every day for the last 7 days. So
wait, last seven he is, like, 14?
However, say it again.
Did so you he's, say last sorry, seven he or has, 14?
So he's worked 10, 12-hour shifts in the last 14 days, but he has, in that 14-day period,
worked
the last seven.
Yeah,
gotcha, he's worked gotcha. Every single day. Yeah. So they're sleepy, if you can imagine.
Yeah.
Right? So they pop open the cowling on these two engines so they can give them a once over, and they need to change the oil. It's not change the oil, but they need to, like, do something with oil that I don't understand, guys. I'm so sorry. But they realize they don't have a tool they need. They don't have a pump that they need to, like, pump the oil in or whatever. So they, like, climb down or whatever and go to get the thing that they need so they can pump the oil so they can close it all back up. But they have a billion planes that they have to service tonight. They get, like, distracted or called over to, like, another task. 3 hours later, they come back to the plane parked at the gate where they left it. Except, actually, while they were doing what they were doing, working on other planes, the airline, right there, whatever, they need a different aircraft at that gate for the flight the next day. So they had swapped out our plane for a different plane at the gate. So when our boys, Frank and Vinny, come back to the gate, they look at the plane, they think it's their plane that they've been working on, and they can see that the engine cowling on both of those engines all closed up. And so they think, like, okay, cool, somebody just came in and did it, right? We were called away, like, we got, like, pulled away to do something.
Yeah.
And somebody else noticed this, came and finished it, right? Actually, no.
Right.
It's a different plane. And our plane that's going to head out to Oslo in the morning still has the cowling open. There's, if you imagine, like, on anything that has, like, a clip to close it, right? Like a roller bag is like this, or like anything that has a clip to close it. The engine cowling have these, like, big, huge clips, right? But they can be, like, all the way open, all the way closed, or, like, looking kind of closed, but not actually clipped shut.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the normal way, that kind of half shut. That's actually the way that they are supposed to leave it. When they walk away, if they walk away from it for some reason, like they had to, you're supposed to, like, leave it, like, half open, half closed, mm-hmm. because it keeps anything from falling out of it down and hitting somebody on the tarmac. Oh, so it's okay. It's not like the half clip thing was wrong. That's a safety thing. The other thing is that those clips are supposed to have, like, brightly, like, fluorescent paint on them so that the next morning when the first officer is walking around doing his inspection of the aircraft, he's doing his walk around looking at everything, there's the clips are supposed to be painted fluorescent, so it's, like, very, very visually obvious if they're out of place. But the paint has just, like, rubbed off the clips on both engines. The paint is rubbed off. They drag the tug operator, so the tug operator is the ramp agent who drives the tug, the thing that pushes the plane back.
Yeah.
The tug operator also does a walk around. And I just feel like this is, this is one of the issues with redundancy in general, right? Redundancy is good. In theory, like the maintenance guys could have caught it, or the tug operator could have caught it, mm-hmm. or the pilot could have caught it, right? That's the ideal. But the inverse can also happen, right? Where you look at something and your eyes don't catch it. Mm-hmm. And maybe it is easy to get complacent because you figure there's so many eyes on this thing, right? Yeah. And yeah. I don't know. I just feel like...
Right, like everyone has that. Like it's like the 911 effect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I would
exactly.
totally be that way. Like, that's why I should never be a pilot. I would be like, oh my 100. God, the same fucking checklist. Goodbye. Don't need to do
right.
that.
No.
Just land this shit with my eyes closed.
Yeah, like, no. Anything detail oriented is like... Yeah.
Painful.
God
not bless.
Suitable.
No.
God bless all of them, right? My mom, detail oriented.
Very.
Miraculous.
Yeah.
Brian... Detail-oriented.
Brilliant pilot.
My husband.
I could do it Brian for like, a great pilot. I could do it for like 6 months and then I get bored as fuck. You know what I mean?
I don't doubt for 1 second. I don't even have a single cell of doubt in my body that you would be a great like pilot of like a Cessna, like a little aircraft yeah. that we can just like fly around
Boop
the world
over,
and have
yeah.
adventures in or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, let's do
no
that.
No problem.
100%.
Yeah, I would
Airline
trust you.
Pilot?
100%.
Yes.
Oh, it's so many things.
Yeah, no.
It's so many things. So many checklists.
Yeah.
There's just no way. So everybody lived. The plane lived. Yeah. Plane's still flying, as far as I know. I think it's still flying. And it was 11 years old. I didn't say that. It was born in 2002. Wow. So... 21st birthday, the plane is now allowed to drink. I guess in Britain it's been drinking since it was foreign,
for a long
but
time.
Is that bad? Do I have to cut that out? Is that an insult? But
so
like what are the suggestions or whatever, right? Like what do you have to do? So
yeah.
improve the training, because when they were like, so what is the training on this? And it's like, well, I watched a video 4 years ago or whatever, right?
Fuck,
which
yeah.
British Airways is in the, they're making the video. Oh,
right.
Yeah. The reason I mentioned the video is because that was part of the investigation.
Okay.
In the video, you can see that they're open. So, like, ugh,
yeah.
Oh, no.
That's not
and
good.
I do think that maybe. It would be distracting a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah,
I feel like it's
totally.
A little distracting.
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing, I don't want to take this point from you. But,
no.
like, they should not be allowed to work that many hours.
Oh.
Like,
it's
either pay your employees more so that they don't have to work those hours. Obviously, they are valuable to you because you are having them work so many hours. Pay
yes.
your fucking employees more. Hire
yes.
more people.
Hire more people.
And don't
Both.
Fucking allow people to work that much.
No, it's like, and again, this thing where like this decision that like some of the people on this chain are just less important than other people in the chain, that's the thing. Like if we're talking about the tug operator in this investigation, because he was another person who could have and should have noticed it.
Yeah.
If we're talking about the tug operator, does the tug operator get treated like a life-saving member of this team
right.
the rest of the time?
Right.
right? So the
right,
pilots
exactly.
The pilots and flight attendants would never, ever, ever, ever be allowed to work anywhere even close to that. That
right.
is not possible.
No.
And I mean, it's not like the crew rest laws are the best. Like, it is a really, I think it's a pretty tiring job. But at least with the pilots and the flight attendants, it's taken, like, very, very seriously
right.
that they need to have, like, ample opportunity for rest. Right. And it is taken really seriously. Whereas the maintenance guys, apparently their sleep doesn't matter. And I mentioned
exactly.
like the distribution of day shift and night shift, because like What the fuck, what the guys? Fuck? Why are you having people do swing shifts? They've been with the company. Both of them have been with the company for over 2 decades. And they're working swing shifts?
Right.
They're working day and night shift in the same week?
And like, to are you kidding? I mean, they're probably making a lot of fucking money that way.
I hope.
Like, a lot of they money, better. Which is probably, like, the only reason they're doing it, right? Like, who else would?
Right.
Why else right. would you do that? Like, I am
But,
shocked.
Like, you simply do not have enough people. But that's the thing. So, that's the thing, right? Like, the... I am suspicious of how much a company is paying their employee automatically if they're working 70 hours,
yeah.
because why are you short on staff
yep.
if you're paying well?
Right.
Like, why are you short-handed if you are providing, like, a good job?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's just...
Yeah.
And so that was the other thing. They said, like, hey, improve your training. Hey, don't work very critical employees like dogs.
Literally.
And
well, that's just it. That is literally the thing, though, is that, like, for the pilots and the flight attendants.
That's okay.
Could not remember.
No.
They're,
it's
like, forward facing.
In the morning, so.
Yeah, exactly. They're like forward facing and like people see them. Right. So, and like,
yeah,
that is like a very obviously a noticeable thing if they are working a million hours and like nobody, no soul on planet Earth wants to fly in a plane with a pilot who's on hour 12, you know, like it's just never going to happen. But the mechanics, who gives a fuck, you know, like,
right. As if,
yeah, no one cares how much they're working just as long as the plane works. Well, Jesus. Okay.
Right. It works until it doesn't, right? Because that's the thing. Both of them have worked, again, 21 years and 27 years, right? Like, who they've worked on, I mean, they've worked on planes like hundreds of thousands of different times. And it's not like the cowling rips off every plane they work on, right? Like, it is...
Right.
But that's also like the repetition, right? Like that's when it's really hard to be detail oriented. And I'm going to say, it seems like there's a little bit of chaos at LHR. If they are working on one plane, climb down to go like get the part they need, get pulled away onto another thing. Mm-hmm. And assume when they come back and there's a different plane parked there, assume that someone else came and finished the work.
Yeah.
Right? That is a pretty chaotic working environment.
Yep.
My guy.
Yeah.
Like,
for a pretty serious environment that you need to be paying attention in.
And this is in 2013.
Right.
This is not 1977.
Yeah.
This is yesterday.
Like, unions exist, my guy. Like, stop.
Right. But you know, this is, I mean, I don't know. I, when I was reading it, I like went down this whole mental like thing about like, oh, 2013, like the economy was definitely still struggling following, you know, the 08 crash. But I don't know. I just have no knowledge of what that was like in the UK. Like, I don't know what the state of all of that was over there.
Right, right. I just have no sympathy for, you know, I'm trying to say this.
The airline, like, British Airways.
Yes, okay. Thank you. You're like, good. Specifically, British Airways. There's absolutely no excuse.
No.
I don't care.
No.
In any circumstance, like, even during the pandemic, I'm just like, I don't feel bad for you. Like, I just don't. You have the resources to continue as completely normal and like don't pretend that you don't. Like, just this
right.
constant like lying to the public of like, oh, we had to raise prices because of that. Like, stop.
Well, it's also like, if you're a publicly traded company, it's like you're saying you have to raise prices, but like we can look with our eyes and observe that you are experiencing like more profits than ever. And like, so like,
just,
it's like, are we dumb? Like, you charge more and you made more money. Oh my gosh. Like,
Right.
Wow.
Exactly.
So like,
and then you stick Frank and Vinny in there and they're just like, oh yeah, like an extra, you know, $3,000 a week. Hell yeah. I'll do it.
Hell yeah. Like, right.
And that is right. Not even the electricity payment of someone fucking CEO's house. Like,
right. Exactly. Well, that's, I mean, 2015 is when I started working at like Buffalo. Like that was my first. So 2015. Yeah. And I can say, obviously, nowhere, a much lower level of expertise and all of that. But I say it just because the pressure to pick up more hours
mm-hmm.
is so intense.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I'm sure I've said this before, but like I was working like 16-hour shifts back to back, like 4 or 5 days in a row. And the like, because New York State labor laws actually do limit how many days in a row you can work.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God. But like I was working 16-hour shifts back to back. And I remember we had the whatever regional manager, blah, 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 was coming. And I was at the plane at like 11:30 p.m. that like met his plane.
Yeah.
And he got off and we said hi or whatever. And then the next morning I was there again and he came in and he's like, why are you here again? And then like,
oh my God,
gave the manager like a hard time for like the overtime. And it's like, you know, Raj, his name was, for some reason, everyone called him Roger. His name's not Roger. His name is like, he was Indian. His name was Raj, like R-A-J. But everyone called him, I don't know,
we're
Raj.
We're going to give you a nickname that's longer. What?
I don't, right. But he, like, I have a lot of very negative things to say about him, but it's not nice to, like, choose one individual person out of the whole mess.
Right.
But, like, he... My dude, like, I made $10.10.
Yeah.
Like, my brother in Christ, Raj.
What the fuck do you like, think I'm doing here?
Right.
I have to literally like, and who's gonna
meet your plane?
Yeah. Right.
Who's gonna meet the plane?
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about?
Right.
Do you think I begged for this extra shift? Like, what are we doing?
Oh, God.
So, yeah. But... Here we are. So we are. I don't know. Oh, the other suggestion. No, sorry. This is kind of critical. So I want to make sure please. I say this. The other thing they said was like, hey, why doesn't like an alarm go off if the cowling isn't closed? Like if you like if it's not latched, why doesn't something like ding?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, yeah, good idea. And so they just added like a ding
beautiful.
To the cowling. So in the cockpit, there's like an alert if the cowling is not latched.
Beautiful.
And that went real far to keeping this from happening again.
Yeah.
But.
Oh, my God.
And it's. Because it would just be so sickening. Like if you. I mean, I don't know. Because there's so many. I'm so glad everyone was okay.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that everyone was totally okay. Like it's not just that people survived. It's that everyone
exactly.
was fine.
Right.
And that's really a relief.
Corporate greed didn't get them this time. Almost. Jeez.
Yeah. No, it's...
They're just traumatized for life and probably half of them won't fly again, but it's fine.
Well, right. The passengers, right. That's a lot of suffering for the passengers.
Yeah.
And it's for everybody, for the pilots, for the flight attendants, that feeling of like that intense... Flight attendants have the... that, to me... One of you've been listening to me rant about this for like years, but like the combination of having a lot of responsibility but very little power that sucks. That's
sucks,
a terrible, that's like all middle management. It's just the worst thing, right?
Yep.
And the flight attendants have a huge amount of responsibility, but they're as powerless as any passenger, right?
Mm-hmm.
They can, besides calling the pilots, right? And they have more knowledge about what, like for better and for worse, they know more about what can go wrong and what to do. But that's that's rough, right? That's a scary position to be in, where you're like looking at all of the passengers and you're on the plane too. And I don't know. It's just really hard. But
gosh,
I don't know. I hope that I do think there's a little bit of that, like, it can be really comforting to have like a villain, you know, especially if it's like a small thing.
Yeah.
Like if you, I don't know, but I just think about like, it's such like a terrible, scary thing. And I do feel like the guy who dropped his bag out of the door is kind of like, I mean, he's like, he's scared and traumatized. I don't know what was in the bag, right? Yeah. Like he could have like a loved one's ashes in the bag, or he could have something like that, right? I don't know. But, and like, I get that sometimes I have a really hard time because everyone was okay, including him.
Yeah.
It's like, and because I don't know who he is, he's a stranger. I don't know, right? He's like the person where I'm like, wow, wow. Everyone like did their best, right? Everyone did their best except you. Like, that's not nice. I'm sorry.
See, you're like in my eyes, like aside from the fact that everyone's okay, like he's the hero.
Like, oh, he's the hero.
Just chaos. Like, don't do that. You're a fucking asshole. But like, I just the visual has me like, I want to see the video clip. I have to find it.
Oh,
just
I want such it to be a dick. On video. It's just I don't know. Just, like the
frustration, like I might die. I'm gonna throw this bag down and I'm gonna get the fuck out of this plane.
And like, I mean, I gotta say, again, I don't know the details. Okay, so did he do that? Did he drop it because he was worried that it would like get like caught and like pop? Right. Did he think that? Did a flight attendant scream at him saying like, what are you doing? You're gonna pop the thing. And then he's like, ha ha, bitch. And like just dropped it. Like, how did it happen? Right. Like, what occurred? Like, I don't know. But yeah. And then like, if you are like
screaming at him on the ground afterwards, just like,
right,
his wife's right, exactly, behind him, like,
right. Oh, right. And like, where, like, that to me, actually, like, dropping it out of the plane is, that to me is like less whatever than getting it out of the overhead.
Out of the overhead,
like,
yeah,
stopping and blocking the aisle to get it out of the overhead. That's that's like the big problem, that's the main problem, exactly, or whatever, right? But like that, oh my gosh,
horrible. Don't do that. Don't do that. No matter,
but like, no matter. I don't, sometimes you just, there was, when I worked at JAL, I think I've said this before, but I worked at JAL, there was, do you remember what year Prince died?
Oh,
I don't remember. 2016, maybe 2017.
Yeah, something like that. 17,
18. Whatever year Prince died, when I was working at JAL and I was in the JAL, like in the Air France lounge, and a guy like came, whatever, he's on our flight, came into the lounge, first class passenger, and he's carrying like a guitar case, and he's like, this is Prince's guitar. He had like bought a guitar that belonged to Prince.
Oh my god.
And he was like, do you want to see it? And I was like, yeah.
Oh my god.
Right, so like maybe you'd have,
I would grab that,
Prince's guitar, yeah, right?
No, I wouldn't. I don't want to be a bad example, but in reality, I probably fucking, I this is what I'll say, I would, there's wait to be could, the last person off so that I could grab that shit, and if I die, I
it
die.
Just, there's sometimes it's hard to even make the calculation, and right, people do, right? People, well, like, it's like a question that people ask kind of like as a hypothetical, like, what would you grab if your house was on fire? Like, if you had to evacuate for some reason. And I don't want to ignore the fact that, like, holy crap, there's a hideous amount of house fires now, like wildfires. So it's like a real question that actually probably is good to answer.
Right.
But the, yeah, if you had something like, when I think of things that are very rare, the example in my brain is a Jack Johnson autograph, which is like very specific.
Yeah.
But I just think like, wow, if I had a Jack Johnson autograph, if I owned a Jack Johnson autograph, I mean, that's irreplaceable. Yeah. Like I gotta, you know, like
that is everything what else. I'm grabbing.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. If you imagine something rare, if I just say that, what's your like word association?
I think, you know what, this is a bad question, I think, for a specific, like me and Ty specifically right now, because we are trying to throw everything out. So it's just like, it's all shit. It's just throw it out. Like donate it, like, sell it, get rid of it, put it on.
I've got renter's insurance. Just burn it down. Like, just
right. And it's like,
like, I'll start over.
Yes. And we have these, like, documents box that we keep all of our stuff. And I was like, yeah, well, you know, we should probably, like, go through that and save some of it. Ty's like, throw it out. We can get it all online.
Just, Ty says that. Wow. And I do not think of Ty as being
quick to
throw things away.
It's very, we're in a very bizarre headspace right now. I would grab the kitties. I would grab Frank and Vinny.
Oh, yeah.
That'd probably be it. Yeah. Frank and Vinny.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. There's nothing that
we can cut this part out, obviously, but have we told, I don't think we've told them about the new friend, our new kitty.
I don't think we have about
your new kitty.
Little baby Beto. Yeah, little baby Beto. I'll post a picture of him. We
the
have
sweetest
so
little boy.
How do we even explain? So so you had a cat named Frank.
Oh yeah.
And we had a cat named Nando.
And they were
and
brothers.
Then Frank,
but not real brothers.
Oh. Not real brothers.
They were brothers by the street and summer camp.
Yeah. Right, summer camp, yeah. Boys club. Yeah. So little Frank would come to visit and they were besties and it was just so much pure joy to watch them play together.
Truly.
And so we were like, oh, we need new brother. We need brothers for them. Permanent
brothers.
They each
need their own friend.
Right. And so you got
Vinny.
Sweet little Vincenzo.
Yes. Yes. This sweet little street cat. And
little kitten.
When I went to go pick him up, the foster mom was like, oh man, like, you know, talking about how difficult it is to adopt black animals out, and which is also like a reason why we've talked about this, I think, why I particularly prefer black animals. And she was talking about Vinny's brother. And I was like, oh man, you know, I'm gonna try
his litter mate, right?
Yes,
like
his
litter kitten
mate.
Litter mate.
Yeah.
Like
brother,
blood brother,
like same foster home mom situation brother. I was like, oh man, I'll talk to them. I will try. Because like they had, I mean, you know, both Finney and Beto had been there for so long, I think, at that point, like from when they were super, super young. So they were just having a hard time adopting him out. And
And so we got Beto, but you actually got him and you had three cats in your house like several weeks.
Yeah, it was
like two little kittens and then
so
little Franklet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they both and just nurse on Frank.
Oh my gosh, do people know about the nursing?
I don't think so.
These two kittens?
I should post a video of the nursing.
You have to. Frank is not misnamed.
Nope. Frank is a boy kitty.
But he embraces his feminine side.
He does, and he offers his sweet milk, his sweet non-existent milk to his babies, his sweet little boys.
Gosh.
When he was just a sweet little boy himself, I do want also.
I know.
He was still little.
I know, he's not even a year right now, right?
We just passed. It was just his birthday.
Yeah.
Early September. So
he's
just now. Yeah.
Just young single mom, Frank. Just these two kittens are trying to nurse.
Yeah.
And God. Like making his nipples raw.
Just raw.
And,
I mean, yeah, raw.
Oh, breaks my heart.
Now he does. He's slowly weaning. Ever so slowly. I'm like shocked that they are still needing and wanting milk.
No, Beto. So young. Now, well, right. But like now, so we have Nando and Beto.
Yeah.
And Nando is not like it's totally radically not going to happen. Nando
is
going to nurse this little kitten.
Yeah.
No, he's exactly.
Nando is like the alpha father.
Yeah.
Frank is like the maternal mother. And
yes.
Then we have the two boys. Yeah.
Yes. And little Beto, but it breaks my heart because Beto will get like, if you like have him in your lap and you get him and he's like, you know, petting him and he gets like really cuddly and purry and he starts like rooting around on my human stomach, I'm a person, I'm people. He's rooting around. He'll like grab like the, you know, like on the inside of your arm, there's like soft flesh
yes.
there or whatever. He's like, this is kind of like a nipple. Like,
yes.
he'll grab like the skin. In on my arm or like latch on to like my shirt
yeah.
or whatever. And because he's just like, just this would be only one thing could make this cuddle session better. It just breaks my heart. Oh my gosh, little kitten. He just wants his mom.
Oh my god.
So sad. So I obviously bought a human baby bottle.
Yeah, the next step.
And
the
I already had. Yes. We already had. Okay, this is really hard for me to say. Powdered puppy formula. No.
Formula.
Puppy.
Yeah. Powdered puppy formula.
Puppy powder.
No, it's not pouty pepper.
Formula.
Wait, what?
Pouty pepper. I can't say this word.
Puppy
it is
powder.
It is formula.
Puppy formula.
Is formula.
Powder. There's like too many
powdered.
Adjectives. They're all adjectives
right.
or something. I don't know.
And when Brian,
nouns, I don't know.
Like, I just ended up calling it powdered puppy formula. And Brian is like, that sounds like it's made out of powdered puppies.
Right.
Like, but I don't know. So it's for puppies.
Yeah.
It's formula.
Powdered formula
for puppies.
Puppies.
Right. Anyway, we had it anyway, because for like, what if I find a baby squirrel outside?
Yeah.
I need something to
so
feed it. So we had that. I put it in the human baby bottle and I'm like nursing this kitten. Because he's just, oh my gosh.
See,
it's
and
not.
On
How
the
do you...
flip side, poor Vincenzo, Frank and Vinny will sleep on the side of the bed sometimes. And literally, I was texting you this earlier, literally woke us up the other night because he was sucking so loud.
Oh my gosh.
On Frank. And Frank was just snoozing, just sleeping. And we were like, no, like, this is not.
Oh, my God.
Stop.
Like, it's going to get an infection.
Go sleep over here. Oh, my God.
How would you even explain it to the vet if you're like, if Frank has like a mammary gland infection or something?
Oh, my God. Right.
Are you even...
I mean, like, I haven't talked to Frank's vet. I don't remember if I talked to the other vet, but. Apparently it's like if there's no actual like wound or infection or like anything like that, it's as long as like the other, like the receiving cat is okay with it, it's fine.
Yeah,
like there actually is no harm to it.
I wish we could give him like a pacifier or something.
I know,
that's what he needs, a pacifier.
I don't know. See what happens. They are cute and they are sweet though. And
so sweet.
Yeah, they're good boys. Now it's just four boys club.
Boys club. Boys club. We'll have boys club at Christmas.
Bow, bow, bow.
It'll be great.
Yeah,
or should
it's
I
gonna be good.
Edit that out? I don't know if you want everyone to know you're in town.
No, that's fine. Yeah, at Christmas. Another boys club. Christmas vacation,
club.
Baby.
So good. Can't wait.
Fact? Yeah.
Yes.
I don't remember if this was a fact that I've said before because I don't remember anything anymore. So, but I heard it again for the first time, if this is the second time I'm telling it, the other day. And I was watching Actually on Dropout.
Oh, love it.
They do like these breakout games or whatever. So basically the game was you have to decide if like it's a real game show or if it's a fake game show. And this one I was like jaw dropped. So this is a real game show. This is a real game show. It's called Labor Games. Have we talked about this?
No.
Okay. It's called Labor Games. It was on fucking TLC.
Oh my God.
It allows parents to answer questions to win prizes for their children while they are in labor. The top prize, the biggest prize is $10,000 scholarship for college. Can you imagine?
Why cheap out like that?
That's a meal TLC. Plan for one semester.
Right.
And you're going to film me giving birth while answering fucking trivia questions?
Yeah. And it won't pay even, that is not even equal to the like cost of delivering in a hospital.
No. Oh, but I think they did get that shit paid for. And I think they like got the upgraded. I did read in one article that like because the show they got upgraded one room. So it was like the medium size room if you could only afford like, you know what I mean?
How dystopian.
Oh, like, what my God.
Is this world?
What the fuck is this world? You are literally trying to pay for your kid's college while you're giving birth. I was like, there's no fucking way that's real. There's no way.
No.
It was on TLC. There's a whole season.
A whole season?
A whole fucking season. A whole
Labor season. Games? Labor Games is the name of it.
Labor Games.
No.
Oh, wait, I just read this. It apparently only had 2 episodes, which you know that they filmed more.
Yeah,
whatever.
Always.
I hope those people still got their shit and it just never aired.
Yeah.
They pulled it for Cake Boss.
Cake
Boss. But apparently this show, Labor Games, sometimes airs on Discovery Life.
There's not even one word.
Not a single
of what
one.
You've just described.
No. That I could not.
Everything.
I was like, I don't think we've talked about this, and I'm pretty sure we haven't.
No. No.
I was shocked.
I mean, my brain erased it. We did. I've never heard of this.
And in 3 years, we'll bring it up again and be like, what?
Right. But like, okay, so we're two people who have not given birth before, right? And like, even from that vantage point, it's like, that sounds terrible, right? And like, from an ethical side, like, what are the rules? Like, are you not allowed to get an epidural? Like, what if you need like medicine or something? Like, what if you need like things? I don't know. And like the only like the tooth situation when I had the one, one of my I don't want to talk about it too much because I'm worried that people will, it'll like give Costa Rican dental care a bad name. Mm. And I was going to have trouble with this tooth. There's no dentist who wouldn't have had trouble. It was just, that was the situation. Yeah. Right. But like, that was the most painful thing I've experienced. And like, if you were asking me questions, like, are you kidding me?
Right.
Like I can't, I'm in a different dimension right now. I can't talk to you. Right. Like,
I just, it's dystopian as shit. And I think that's exactly the words they used on the show was like, well.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Oh my gosh.
Real.
Wretched. Shit.
Like, Jesus.
Right.
So
and I guess like on the other hand, people are giving birth for free all the time.
Right.
Like, not kidding. But no, but and that's how you can talk yourself into pitching that idea as a show.
Go. Right.
But I interrupted you. What were you going to say?
Oh, no. I was just going to say that that was the fact. And I also couldn't believe that it was on TLC. I mean, like, I can, but, like, no. I just can't. TLC, I just can't imagine the logistical nightmare. for filming like, that. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
That seems like no. such an ineffective business plan.
Right. It's such like a violation.
Yeah.
It's everything about that is.
And I the will worst. Say.
And again, it's.
The New York Times wrote an article about how ingenious the idea was in like 2015 or something.
Ingenious as a way of like exposing failures in our system.
Right.
Like,
right.
What kind of ingenious?
I saw that sentence and I was like, I can't read this article.
No.
I cannot. I am not going to spend my 30 seconds reading a sympathy article about this game show.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, we could do a whole, if we were a better podcast, we would talk about like old TLC shows and about how wretched they were, but ugh.
Goodness.
All right. Cracker Jack. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you so much.
We
did it.
Little brains.
We did it.
And we're going to keep doing it. Yeah. We're going to keep making this. I promise.
Yeah.
Do not let we'll post a chit chat where we'll talk about it. But like, why did, when that like ADHD optimism, right? Where I'm like, of course, like we can keep doing the show every week, even though I, you know, work 5 days a week and then the other two, I go to the land and like farm all day or whatever.
Totally and feasible.
Obviously.
To have an eighth day.
Yeah. Got a second cat? Sure. Yeah, what's that going to do? Right. Like,
600 you know, blueberry plants? Like, sounds perfect.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Of course. Right. Like, yeah. Sure. Let's do it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, our all-encompassing seasonal hobby of thinking about football all the time, but
all the time, yeah,
we'll leave it
speaking
alone.
Of it is late right now and we have an early game in the morning.
Oh, we do.
9:30
football. It'll be great.
Speaking of England.
Yes.
speaking of British Airways,
yeah, we'll know what happened by the time this airs. Yeah. But if you went to the game or even just watch it, if you're like not a football fan, but you're like watching the game because it's like an event, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Football.
Please.
All right. Football.
Yay.
I love you.
I love you.
Take a nap, friends. Yes. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Love you. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of The Podcrashed. We so hope you enjoyed it. Thank you, everybody, for sticking with us. If you want to get in touch with us for any reason, you can email us at thepodcrashed@gmail.com or message us on Instagram or TikTok. It's fall and a lot is going on. And if you've messaged us and we haven't gotten back to you, thank you for messaging us. I can't wait for the dopamine to allow me to open Instagram. I love getting your messages, and really, I should just open it right now. Truly, each and every one of you is an absolute blessing in our lives, and we love you, and we'll see you soon.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.